So I mentioned that we're in the season of creation time, that the Anglican Church has taken on, but that a number of different church denominations across the globe are focusing in on it. And it seems to be a more and more pressing need as time goes on, that we need to focus in on creation and what we can do, how we can play our part. But it's interesting reading Jesus' words, hearing Jesus' words, and thinking through the Gospels. Actually, Jesus doesn't necessarily command his followers to go out and save the whales or look after the monkeys or the rainforest. And perhaps we then kind of think, well, what's going on there? But what Jesus does do is he uses creation in many of his parables, in a lot of his teaching. And of course, he would have been walking out within creation. It was the way that he connected in. And it's the way that we connect in often with his stories, because it's all still around us, isn't it, the creation. And I think what we can do often is take the principles that he puts forward and apply them into our day. And certainly, part of our the reading that Jane brought us, we see Jesus saying that actually part of our call is to love one another, is to bless those who are struggling, those who are in difficulty. And what Jesus is saying is there will be a cost to that, but that actually the ultimate benefit is the blessing we'll receive from God. So I think that's just to keep that in mind. But it was just coincidental that Karen ended up reading the Genesis reading, but she was standing in for someone. But the creation story is where it all begins. And I chose Genesis 2 today. We could have listened to Genesis 1, that I'm sure we know well. Genesis 1 is interesting in that the first account of creation is almost like a liturgical account. It has a very repetitive structure. And you could almost imagine someone among the Israelites at the time kind of going through that description of creation in Genesis 1 and those around kind of responding with the repeated parts. About God saw it was good, and then there was evening and morning and the next day, and so on. You can kind of see a sort of call and response. Whereas in Genesis 2, it's much more of a story. What we heard this morning is a story about the rivers winding past and all the things that God did to create this wonderful garden and then to place this human being in it. I think I'm right in saying there's no gender assigned initially, although to try and make it make sense, we say it was a man that was put in first and then the woman was brought in. But I think, anyway, we won't go into that today, but that's for another day. But I think it was only that the sort of genders were assigned as the two were there. But that's not for today. What is interesting is that the Bible begins with this garden, this wonderful garden with this tree of life in the middle. And those that were looking at the Bible story last term will know that we were reminded that Revelation ends by pointing to a garden, a wonderful garden, with a tree of life in the middle as well. So we can kind of assume that what's there at the beginning seems to be there at the end as well and into eternity. That word paradise is an interesting one, though. I wonder what that might mean to you. God creates this paradise. What that might mean. I won't get anyone to contribute, but I can suspect for some it might be sitting by the pool on some tropical island, pina colada in hand, with one of those kind of thatched roof bars next to. Anyway, that might be for some people. It might be being out in the ocean on a boat in the middle of nowhere. Maybe for some it will be amongst a crowd listening to some amazing music or watching an amazing sporting occasion. Perhaps there's many different ways that we might experience what we might term paradise. That word has gained a sort of a mythological meaning over the years. But actually, the meaning of paradise, the root meaning, is an enclosed garden. It's a bit boring, really, isn't it? But what we see in Genesis is that actually this is a garden that is characterized by God's will, by people obeying God and obedience to God. And that's kind of what we see in Revelation as well. That actually the enclosed nature of the garden is that it's enfolded in God's will and God's care. And those who are in the garden, who experience the paradise, are those who are present to God and recognize that it's all about him and not necessarily about them. Perhaps we could just stop there. We could just think on that. But I'm going to go on a bit further. Because what is interesting as well is in this garden, before the Adam and Eve have succumbed to temptation, before they've fallen from grace, God says, I want you to go into the garden, I want you to work it and take care of it. There's work going on in paradise. How many of you would have kind of put work and paradise together? I'm not sure whether I would. But what we see is that work doesn't come after the fall, doesn't come after evil's entered the world. It comes before. God gives Adam and Eve work to do. He gives them a garden and he says, this is for you to work and to take care of. And so that's what I've been kind of ruminating on this week. Well, actually not this week, because I've been on holiday, but last week and then the last couple of days. So we're called to be gardeners and guardians of creation. I don't know what your gardening is like. I know we've got some excellent gardeners here, people who really enjoy the garden. You were doing a big thing to your garden, was it this weekend, Jan? I just remembered.
Yes.
How's that going? Is it
nearly
finished? You're doing a whole ground force changing. So there's lots of different forms of gardening. I think when I grew up in a rectory, as many of you know, and we had an acre of land around this rectory, so it was quite a space to sort out. And one of my abiding memories is my mum did a lot of the garden. We had a gardener who used to come as well, but she called me out for a 5-minute job. And when that was done, there was a 10-minute job that needed doing. And when that 10-minute job was done, there seemed to be a 15-minute job. And before I knew it, I'd been out 2 hours. I probably quite enjoyed being outside, but you know, there were other things I might have wanted to do as a teenager. And so I kind of was a bit wary of the 5-minute job. But my job seemed to be cutting things down, mowing the lawn, chopping things and harvesting. I didn't get to do a lot of planting, I don't think. I do try now. Now we've got the... So when Carrie and I first got married, we got a tiny little garden. Certainly compared with the gardens we'd known growing up. I think it was only then we suddenly realised how lucky we'd been to have that space. And it was one of those gardens where it had a Scots pine tree right in the middle of the garden that just sucked all the moisture. And so the grass kind of grew, but it was so weedy. And also it was covered in pine cones. When you really mowed it, the noise was horrendous. But anyway, we've got a lovely garden now. We're really appreciating it. There is a sense of duty as well as joy in the gardening when you think, oh, we have got to go out and do that and do the other thing. But I enjoy it. I like having an excuse to go out, even if the weather's not so good, to go out and trim something or fiddle about with something in the garden. I just enjoy being outside, I suppose. At one point we had a garden that was very low maintenance, and it was really frustrating to me. There was nothing to go out and do in the garden. I couldn't just sit and do nothing, I suppose that's what it was. I wanted to go out and now I see that I was following God's commandment to work and to take care of it. And it's more than just, it's grown though, I suppose, that the call from God for us to be to gardeners and guardians of creation is, it's grown more than just our own patch or our own little area. Now, we read in the news about the Amazon rainforest, for instance, and we see that actually the whole world is there for us to think about and comprehend and try and support those that perhaps that are struggling. Often it is the poorest of the poor, and I know the situation in the Amazon and in Brazil is really complicated. There are really poor farmers there who are trying to make ends meet, and then there are, you know, big businesses involved as well, and it's very difficult to try and evaluate exactly what the best thing is that we can do. I had an email yesterday saying we need to boycott, is it Morrison's or something? Morrison's apparently are getting something from Brazil from some big company that apparently is supporting the small companies that are involved in the, and you know, it gets very complicated, doesn't it, trying to work out what's the best thing that we can do. The whole world is at our doorstep now. And so a part of what we're trying to do as a church is say, what can we do as a church? And this eco-church is about looking at our church building, looking at the teaching that we are involved in, looking at using, you know, light bulbs that are more efficient, saving energy. Obviously, we don't use a huge amount here. We don't have to worry about gas because we haven't got any of that. There's lots of things we can kind of cross off, which is quite helpful. But also things that we can do. And so it's working out what we can do rather than what we can't do, I suppose. And in that vein, what I've been doing is I found this book. It was recommended at a diocesan gathering that I went to called L is the Lifestyle. And in it, a lady called Ruth Valerio, who's very big on looking after the planet, but also from a Christian point of view. So she's particularly coming from that place of saying, look, God created this wonderful world. What can we do to try and leave it in a good state for our children and our children's children and those that follow on? And so she recognises that it's so complicated that she writes quite short chapters, which I quite like. I can cope with that, so I can read a chunk. And she split them up into, they all begin with a letter of the alphabet, which is quite clever, which is why I suppose it's L is for Lifestyle. And the subtitle is Christian Living That Doesn't Cost the Earth. And I thought, well, as we're going through creation this month, I will try and read it and see what I can pass on. I did make one mistake, actually. I bought this copy. It's about 10 years old. It was a second-hand copy. I thought that would be better for the planet than buying a new copy. The problem is, all the facts and figures in it are 10 years old, and things have changed so much in 10 years so I've actually bought a new copy now as well, so I might lend this out to someone, although I need to use it for Acts 11, so I can't lend it out just yet. But it's still a fascinating read. And so I'll just pick out a couple of points, and then we will move on. So she goes through the alphabet. A is, in her terms, is for activism and being active and working out what we can do. B is for bananas. And bananas, she points at, were the big move in fair trade. You might remember a number of years ago, the fair trade movement kind of picked up on bananas and recognised that the banana growers were getting peanuts. That doesn't quite make sense for their bananas. You know what I mean? They weren't getting very much money for their bananas, and actually there was injustices going on, and so the fair trade movement was begun. And it's kind of mushroomed, but it's still there encouraging the big supermarkets. So, B is for bananas. C is for creation. And at the end of each chapter, she says, she puts some action points. And for this chapter about creation, which talks about the fact that actually there are different circles around us, different parts of creation. There's our own sort of patch. Then there's our community, and then our country, and then the whole world. It's all connected into us. But she said one of the action points, she says, is increase your awareness and understanding of the created world in which you live. Stop to smell a flower. Notice a particular colour. Watch a bird fly, follow the seasons in your garden. And we're able to do that here, aren't we? But I wonder how many times we do stop and just take a moment to appreciate all that's around us, all that God's created. So I thought, yeah, I can pick up that action point. Sounds quite good. That's something I can do. Then I went on to the next chapter, which is D is for driving. And this challenged me a little bit more, though I wasn't doing too badly. It might challenge some of you, but then again, I know that driving is important to some people. It's a lifeline, isn't it? If you live a way away from people that you need to meet. But she says this, suggests these action points. Stop using your car for all short distances. And then in brackets she says, and be prepared to lengthen your idea of a short distance. Which I think is clever. But as I say, I know for some people it is important, you know, that mobility is an issue as well. She says, if you have a bicycle, get it serviced so it's in good condition. I thought, oh yeah, I'm ticking that one, that's okay. Then I got to the third action point, which says, begin to drive more slowly. And I struggled a little bit with that one. Not that I'm a crazy driver, but in the chapter she talks about how, and I'll draw things to a close in a minute, but just this one point. She talks about how she decided, she was doing a lot of motorway driving, and she decided rather than driving at 75 miles an hour, she would sort of knock it down to 70 and see if she could just drive at 70, because she said, you know, it's good for the planet, efficient, more fuel efficient, and less pollution, and all of that. And then she knocked it down to 65 miles an hour. And then I think she gets to the point of just driving over at 60 miles an hour on the motorway. And I thought, well, that would be good to try that out. So our journey back from Northumberland was, we were on the motorways for about 8 hours on Friday. And I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't slow down. Partly, I think, because I was conscious of what time we'd get home if I went at 50 miles, or 60 miles an hour. But I just couldn't manage it. I mean, I tend to drive around about 70, maybe if I'm overtaking and I've got some ex-policemen around, I'll just nudge over 70, assuming that my speedometer is registering a little bit higher than it actually is. to overtake. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't slow down. And I thought, yeah, that's a challenge. I might use my bike a bit, but I'm not sure about driving along with the lorries in the slow lane, not the slow lane, the inside lane of the motorway. But anyway, so it is challenging. I haven't got all the way through the book actually, because I'm finding some of the chapters are quite a challenge. And there's a lot to it. It's complicated. But I'm just encouraging all of us really to focus in this month. And part of what I thought we'd do, you know, I don't like to come empty-handed, or for you to go away empty-handed, in fact, I've put together a little prayer booklet, because I know some people here like a focus for prayer. So I've taken the alphabet and split it up, four letters each day, and it doesn't quite work out, but it goes at the end. And I've created a little booklet that has sort of four things to think about as you pray or as you go through your day for each day. And each one linked from the book, most of them, and it just gives us something so that we're all thinking together about this, about how we can care for creation, how we can engage with creation, how we can look after our local environment and our global environment. So for instance, on Monday it says, A is for the Amazon, a rainforest for the world. That's very in the news at the moment, isn't it? B is for bananas and encouraging fair trade. C is for creation and our connection to it. D is for driving and reducing pollution. And there's space you can scribble out the things and add your own things if you want to. But I just thought it would be nice as we go through this month to have some focuses for our prayer and thoughts as we go through. So I've got a few. I don't know if you're able to take one and pass them on in that time-honoured tradition. And we've got, and I'm going to give the same out to our At 11 congregation later as well. And we've also got a service actually this evening, praise and prayer service. Hilary Bond, our curate down at Upton, she's a Franciscan, so she doesn't have to wear a habit or anything, but she's a third order Franciscan. So she follows the teachings of St. Francis, which is kind of ends, that's his day, is at the beginning of October, so our creation time will end. And she's going to bring some of her thoughts this evening about how we can, well, I'm not quite sure what she's going to bring, but she's going to bring some stuff anyway that will link in with this creation and St. Francis, who was known as the saint of, with the squirrel on the shoulder and the, you know, the animals that are around him. He was at one with nature, I suppose, with creation. So that's for later on this evening. That's a 6 o'clock service this evening. But let's just spend a moment in prayer now before we move on. Lord, we do give thanks for the blessing of creation. We give thanks for all that we've come through this morning. We thank you for one another. We're all part of creation. We're all your gift to one another. I would pray during this month you would guide us by your Holy Spirit. You would convict us where there are small changes that we can make to help sustain this amazing planet that we're on. And Lord, just as we heard in our gospel reading, that actually there are those who are suffering that we can help. And so we pray that if that will happen, even if it's at some cost to us, we will recognise that you blessed us to bless others, whether it be those locally or those elsewhere in our nation or further afield. Would you convict us of how we can best do that? All the time knowing that you call us to love you and to be guided by you and to show our love for one another. So lead us on, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.